Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We are back on a beautiful Wednesday. Joe Starkey returns to the studio. And Joe, I teased a little thing about the Penguins, and today
I'm very curious.
This is after, you know, 18-year-old Ben Kindle was inserted into the top unit of the power play. He's now on the top line with Sidney Crosby and Brian Rust. And I think this kid, I don't know about you, he reminds me of Jake Guentzel in so many ways. He's not that
good
big
call.
He's not that big, but he was in front of the net in Toronto the other night with all the trees and all the big guys. Myers was trying to decapitate him a couple of times, and he stood in there trying to make plays.
Well, what's the twist?
That's it. He's on the top line.
Oh.
Because he's been playing with Koivunen and Tommy Novak. So now they've split that all up to put in. This is based on practice today. But
so what are they doing with Brunick? Do we know that yet?
He's still on. You know, they haven't. The ninth game is coming up. So
I thought he just played the ninth game. No?
I think he had eight. I think. Did he play the other night?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would have been eight, I think. I think he has one more to go because he was at seven while Kindle was at nine. They didn't dress him a couple of times, but you could find that out for sure. He's listed still on the practice as either the
What do you think they should do with him, Bob?
I would keep him. I just think
he's played nine. He's played nine games.
All right,
this is the time.
Then he's still skating with them. Whether or not he dresses tonight, they could keep him around. And I would suspect they'll do with him what they probably will do with Ben Kindle eventually is just give him a few nights off here and there, keep him around the parent team, and let him learn from Sidney Crosby and others.
I agree with that. He's a different case than Pickering. He appears to be a better player than Pickering. Plus, it's you're not sending him to the minors. You'd be sending him back all the way back to junior. No, just keep him here. Let him grow. Let him learn. If this was the plan. 4 games ago, so he struggled a couple games. That's not expected. Like you would change the whole plan. I don't agree with that one bit. And I'll tell you what else I don't agree with, Bob, is keeping Jari much longer. And that's a compliment to Jari. He's played his way into becoming a tradable asset again. So trade him while the selling's good. Sell high. Hopefully this injury is nothing to speak of.
It's a 3-week injury.
Oh, it is? Is that what they said? All right. Well, as soon as he comes back, maybe give him a couple more starts, but I'd be looking in the meantime. Everybody, or at least a lot of teams, need goaltending. He's gotten off to a nice start to the point where, was it Colby the other night, mentioned him as a candidate for Canada's team?
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised to hear that, but maybe
I'd be
maybe
scared
so.
To death with him in goal in a big game. But
Or if he did that and he was still in the possession of the Pittsburgh Penguins, you saw him play really well on a big stage like that, you might change your mind. And again, his salary is not that big a deal right now. I think people were more stunned at the term when they gave him 5 years.
It's still a pretty good chunk of the
Bob Rossi's making double what he makes.
I know.
Demko makes double what he makes.
But in their circumstance, it's still money I think you could. Well, here's the real story. They have Mirishoff. He's the guy. He's ready, I think.
I hope
we're going to find out soon.
Yeah.
At some point, Bob, you have to make a choice here. And if you wait around with Jari, then you might be waiting around for lack of performance to return or more injury To me, now's the time. Right now.
The only thing about right now, he's injured. So I would wait till he comes back, gets back in there, and if he continues that level, then I think your asking price might be a bit better.
Meh, maybe. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe. I'm not even that concerned about the asking price. I never dreamed there would be a day where they could trade him for anything.
What was your takeaway from the other night where I thought they were completely dominant for 40 minutes at a tough place to play against a very high-octane offense, shut him down completely, and then they reverted back to some of the stuff we've seen in the past?
Bob, my take might be a little unusual, but after an epic collapse, given the entire nature of the game, I came out feeling better than I did going into the game, at least. Not going into the third period, obviously. But when the attempted shots are 72-37 and you dominate the way they did, if I'm looking to pick up little breadcrumb clues along the way of is this real or not, that game the other night was a breadcrumb in the maybe it is real category, not the other one. Am I crazy, Bob?
No, I've been kind of bullish on them the whole way because of the way they've played. And that system frustrated Toronto. Now, when you give them a breakdown and you allow the 66 goal scorer to come in all alone, I mean, you're asking for trouble, and that started the whole thing. It didn't take much to get them back in the game, but they had to be aware of that, and they just collapsed.
I'm ready to see this goalie. I can't wait to watch this goalie.
He's got to start on Thursday, right? You didn't bring him up here not to start.
He's certainly going to start. They have 3 games in 4 days.
At one point.
Yeah,
based on the way they've been alternating, Shilov will probably start tomorrow, but I think it should be him.
So do I, against his countryman, Ovechkin, who's looking for his 900th NHL goal. What a game that should be, Bob.
Well, if you're Mirashov, you don't want to be the guy who's looked at it. I gave my first shot on goal. I gave up number 900 to Ovechkin, although that might be a funny story to tell one day.
Well, that was last year's story, giving up goals on the first shot every other game.
Yeah, they've changed that, which is good.
All right, anything else Penguins-wise
wanted to get to? No, I just thought that was interesting that this kid is moving right up the ranks here. First team, first unit power play, he's been really comfortable there.
I mean, he looks like a great pick and a potential star right now. There was one other thing I wanted to mention, if I might, and that was my changing opinion on Kyle Dubas. Yes, of course, the winning has everything to do with that, certainly a lot to do with that, but it's more than that. It's drafting a kid like Kindle with that pick looks brilliant. And it's also an interview that Dubas did with Pierre LeBrun, which appeared this morning in the clips that the Penguins sent out. And I really liked the way that he portrayed his time in Toronto to Pierre LeBrun. He simply said, "It's on me. That's my fault." He doesn't regret the way that he left, and there was a lot of commotion when Kyle Dubas left Toronto, where they didn't want him to do a media availability. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because, Brendan Shanahan didn't want to, and he wanted to anyway. And his reasoning, as he told LeBrun, was, I needed to get in front of the media and take responsibility for what happened there. He said, "We lost to Florida in 5 games. I didn't feel I could run from doing the press and leave Sheldon Keefe, the coach, and the players just to do it without me. I admire that." He said, "Because in the end, I felt it was on me. I wanted to face the music. I wasn't going to run from the fact that we hadn't reached our goal again, and it was on me," he said again. I really appreciate that, Bob. I appreciate that honesty and accountability, and I think if it's real, like that's really the way he felt, I feel like, you know, he's young enough to where he can really learn from his time in Toronto and be better. So I like that. I thought that was a great interview if you get a chance to check it out with Pierre LeBrun today with Kyle Dubas.
And I think more people should have that philosophy, just ownership of whatever situation you're in. It doesn't take all that much to do that. Just sit up there and answer the questions. You can answer them any way you want. But when you're doing it, you tell people, "Hey, I'm here for you. What do you want to know? Because it all starts with me. I'm the guy who's orchestrating this roster mostly. So what's your concern? What's your question?" And he can answer it. And I love the fact that he was going to take responsibility, but I found it interesting that he wasn't given the chance to.
And he said of this start, you know, and again, I'm paraphrasing, that, you know, we're not sitting here pushing in anybody's face. We're a few weeks and month into the season right now. And this is no time, this is me talking, certainly no time for I told you so's yet with the Penguins. But again, the other night, even though it was a disaster of a third period, if I look at the overall performance in the context of, is this sustainable for the Penguins? I put that in the, if I have a yes or no categories, that one goes in the yes. More evidence on the way. Three games and four nights. What do they have? The Devils, the
Kings. Oh no, the Caps. The Caps.
Caps,
the Kings.
Devils, Kings.
Yeah.
Three of the next 4 days. When we come back here Monday, Bob, I think we're gonna have a little bit better of an idea of whether this is sustainable. But it's been fun to watch, hasn't it, Ben?
Yeah, it really is. And we'll see about Brunick, and he's skating with them today, so you're sure it's nine games. So the next one would trigger the entry level contract.
Right. That's exactly right. So Josh Yeary writes there's been some back and forth in the Penguins organization.
What would
on
you
that.
Do? I said I would keep him. I don't think there's anything to gain by going to a junior team where he's going to be better than everybody.
I just don't think you make that decision based after he looked so good. You don't then change your mind based on a couple bad games. The kid's 11 years old. It's okay. He had a couple bad games.
Right, and what better way to learn how to overcome them than be up here, do it again against really high-level competition? He can make those same mistakes down there and never, ever pay for it, you know, but it'll get careless as a result, I think. I'd rather have him up here.
All right, Limits, I want you to join in here. Are you available, or do you have to take the phone call?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do that right now. Fan Twitter brought to you.
He has 67,000 reasons not to pay attention to us right now. So
it's not looking good here for the home crowd, Bob.
Well, I don't get it. What happened?
Bob and I are just, we have an inside joke going right now.
Oh, there's only going to be 67,000 people at Penn State this weekend, are you saying?
Oh,
wow.
That's a good,
not the direction we were going with that.
All right, I guess that's an inside joke. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I need the answers to be succinct here. If you're then asked in a follow-up to defend your position, Bob, you may go as long as you like. Are you ready?
Yes, but that seems to go against your original thesis here. You want quick answers, and now you're giving us as long as we want after that.
You intentionally filibustered right there. Are you ready, Bob?
Yes.
The Steelers are the blank best team in the AFC right now. Halfway through the season. They're a little less than halfway. A lot of the conference is a little more than halfway. You get the idea, Bob. It's an odd number of games, so you're never really halfway unless you're halftime of the Chargers game. Then you're halfway.
Fourth.
So we can do this all again next week.
Fourth.
Who's ahead of them, Bob?
I would say Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, even though they just beat the Colts, the way they are, two games separated from them, I'll say the Colts.
Holy ostrich milk.
Well, I know they just beat them, but they're 7-2 as well.
Okay.
And so they're going to have to make up some time. I would look at, I'm going to say Kansas City still, because I still believe Kansas City has a lot more coming.
So they're better than New England, Denver, and the Chargers?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Limits, the Steelers are the blank best team in the AFC.
The Steelers are the third best team in the AFC.
Wow. All right. Ahead of, who's ahead of them?
The Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Holy ostrich milk.
And you know I'm not very high on the Chiefs, but I feel like what I'm going off of this is, if they played head-to-head, who do I think would win? And I think that the Chiefs would beat them, and I think Buffalo would beat them. And I think that they would beat, I think they're going to beat the Chargers on Sunday. I'll give that away now. And I think they're better than Denver, and we saw them beat the Colts.
Yeah, but I think if you play the Colts the way it is right now, you have to go there to play them, and I have a whole different feeling for that game. That's the only reason why I put them up there.
I still think they'd beat them.
The Steelers are the seventh best team in the
AFC.
You ready to hear who's better than them, Limits? Are you ready to hear who's better than them?
Well, pretty much everyone, apparently, right?
Well, Denver, Buffalo, New England, Indianapolis with Sauce Gardner, which neither one of you mentioned, Kansas City, and Baltimore. That's six ahead of them, Bob. They're the seventh best team. I don't know why that would be so insulting. They're in fourth place right now, and the Bills are behind them, and the Chiefs are behind them, and you both think that they're better than them. So
no, I didn't know. I have Buffalo and Kansas City better than the Steelers. Is
right?
That what you asked?
Yeah, but they're behind them right now.
Yeah, but again, you just said you added Sauce Gardner in the mix.
Exactly.
Okay.
So if those two teams played again, especially in Indy.
That's why I have Indy ahead of them. That's the only one else I have ahead of them.
You don't think New England's better than the Steelers right now?
No, I still think the Steelers will beat them if they play them again.
Denver.
Depends on where.
Buffalo, you said yes. And you don't think the Ravens are better than the Steelers,
Not right now, no. That could change. You always say more evidence
limits,
results and changes of
not
opinion.
Not Baltimore, huh?
Not Baltimore, no.
All right. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. However, having said that, I don't think there's a great team, and I think the Steelers roster stacks up. So just because I might rate, let's say, New England ahead of the Steelers right now, the Steelers have beaten them, and if they played again, I think it would be a field goal game. I don't think any of these wouldn't be a field goal game, no matter what the venue. Like, I don't think there's anybody way better than them, so I don't find what I said insulting. I think they're a playoff team, and I think they can compete with anybody in the AFC. I think that's a compliment.
So you think they're going to get the seventh seed then?
Not necessarily, no. That's a way different question, Limits.
I think they're the seventh best team, naturally, and you think Baltimore's better than them, so that means that you think that Baltimore's going to win the division and that the Steelers are going to get the seventh seed.
Maybe. Baltimore's dug a hole for them. No, that's not the case. I think the Steelers could finish ahead of... You just picked Kansas City as better than them. You think they're going to finish with a better record and a higher seed?
Probably not, no.
Well, I rest my case then, Bob. What is going on here with Limits lately? He's jumping down my throat, Bob.
No, he has a feeling, and he stands by his feeling, even if you may think it's a bad feeling.
Thank you for that diplomatic response. So, all right. We're all on the record with that. And you want to join in, by the way. And we should really open the lines to the trade deadline. We were mired in a six-pack earlier today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We all feel, I'm assuming Limits does too, that Jacoby Myers was gettable and should have been gotten, right?
Correct. Should have been gotten. You would have done a fourth and a fifth.
Your thoughts out there on that at 412-928-9370, 928-9370. The Steelers MVP at the midway point is who, Bob?
Aaron Rodgers.
Wrong. Limits?
Aaron Rodgers.
That's right. Aaron Rodgers. And I think the only other realistic candidate is Chris Boswell. And
yes.
I
think he's always
going to
be
him.
In the conversation. Yes.
I might pick
him. My mind does not immediately go to kickers, but I understand why you say that. And it's to me, it's almost automatic that he's in that conversation, I guess, every year just because of what he does. And he's better than everyone at what he does. But I tend to look at it strictly from who's out there all the time, not just a kicker.
Normally, I would too, but A, there's not a lot of candidates on this team. The defense, for example, has been up and down all year, and I don't think anybody's having an all-pro season right now. And then offensively, kind of the same thing, but Rodgers is the guy there, and I think he's exceeded expectations. So normally, I would say the same thing, except for what I just mentioned, and except for the fact that Boswell hasn't just been accurate, he's been cranking 50-plus yard field goals with regularity, and he won a game with them, for them. They'd be 4-4 right now if he didn't make a 60-yard field goal to beat the Jets. I actually think he's their MVP right now. He's playing the best at his position of anybody on the team.
Sure, I would agree with that. But when I look at MVP candidates of the team, I want guys who are out there all the time. And I love Boswell, don't get me wrong. It's just that that's what he's supposed to do, and he does it better than anyone else.
So by the way, Bob, as a quick aside, I teased earlier about a Steeler who just jumps off the charts when I'm watching the team right now. Troy Fatanu
is really taking a major step.
He's just burying people.
No sacks allowed, and he's played, he was injured last year, so we really didn't get a good chance to see what he was about. But he's not only winning his own battles. He's coming over when somebody else needs help, and he
like
buries
people. Like when Buckner,
people.
Do you see what he did
to Buckner?
He nailed
him like a roadkill. He just flattened him.
He made him feel worse than Bill Buckner in the 86 series.
Oh, man,
series,
that was
Bob.
One of the best moves by an offensive lineman all year.
Wow. So that looks like a budding star to me. Anywho, who's been the LVP, Bob, the least value? Oh, Limits, who's your MVP again? Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers, yes.
Who's your LVP so far?
Well, at first it was Broderick Jones, but now he's playing a little bit better.
Yeah.
My LVP right now has to be Darius Slay.
That's who I was going to pick.
Mm. Talk about that, Bob.
Great career, but
expound
just,
upon that.
He's just not the, what am I supposed to do if I had the same, if I think deeper, hold on, go with
your
pick.
No. I mean,
I just expected more from him,
yeah.
Especially at 1 year, $10 million.
Yeah.
And I hate to judge people based on their salary, but that's how it works. They brought him in here to shut down one of the sides of the, left or right, wherever they have him. And
sure,
he's been missing tackles, not making enough plays for $10 million.
I'm going to go, there's a couple choices here for me. One is Jonnu Smith. I'm not sure how much of this is his fault, but he did drop what would have been maybe a 40-yard play to open the game the other day. And he just hasn't been what I think anybody thought he would be. Again, I'm not sure how much of that is his fault. 6.4 yards per catch. Bob, you could get 6.4 yards per catch.
Couldn't.
That is paltry.
Yeah, for him
it
is.
Mildly.
Especially because he was one of those guys brought in here because of what he did in Miami, which was get the ball and run with it. He was very good at the yards after.
Right.
We haven't seen that at all.
He'd be one, and then another LVP for me would be Juan Thornhill, who before the season was talking about history in the making, Bob. The only history he's made so far is making one of the most incredibly ridiculous attempts at a ball down the middle of the field that I've ever seen when he misjudged it and then jumped and put his arm behind him. Do you remember
it
that?
It really was. If you're in PFF grading that, you would have given that an interceptable play. It should have been.
Oh, my God.
I think it could be one of the best there of all time.
Really?
And I'm putting that in there now. One of the best of all time. I mean, when you got – literally, we got pieces everywhere. Look at the roster. Look at who we have. It's incredible.
Little did he know when he said that that he'd be replaced by Kyle Duggar 7 games into the season. So I'd go with him. How about your biggest surprise this season, Bob?
I don't know if it's a surprise necessarily, but I wanted to see Peyton Wilson do what he did the other day. I hadn't seen it on a consistent basis, so I'm hopeful that continues. So surprise may be the wrong word for that one. Surprise.
I'm going to go with Mount Washington myself. I didn't think he was going to become their number one tight end and a receiving threat that I think is ascending right now. That catch he made the other day.
He also had a drop in there, too, but I like the fact that you're utilizing him, yes.
Yeah, he had one at the goal. He probably should have caught either one of those or both those at the goal line. He couldn't have caught both, Bob, because that would have been 2 touchdowns on 1 possession. But the catch he made down the field early in the second half where he reached behind him on an unusually errant throw by Rodgers was a great play that a real tight end down the field makes. Like, where is this going? Plus, this guy is an indispensable blocker. He's now become their tush-push pusher. This, I didn't expect this. He's my biggest surprise. Limits?
Yeah, I mean, Darnell Washington actually is one for me that is really significant. Also, the fact that Calvin Austin has played better than I thought. And the relationship that Aaron Rodgers has with Calvin Austin is pretty apparent. He was the leading receiver in last week's game, and it seems like Rodgers trusts him. So a combination of Calvin Austin being better than I expected and Aaron Rodgers playing very well, which I thought he'd play well, but I didn't expect him to be this good. Top 10 quarterback in the NFL, good.
Limits, we have to get Stephen Thompson on next, and I lost his number.
I have it. He's going to join the video.
There. Okay. Bob, the biggest disappointment. It doesn't have to be a single player. It could be a game, could be an incident, could be something off the field, could be a player, could be anything. The biggest disappointment of the Steelers season is what to you? To me, it was getting riddled like they did by Joe Flacco, and I respect Joe Flacco, and he's been very good in Cincy, but you also notice he mixed in a couple interceptions in his latest performance. The fact that they showed up on a Thursday night in Cincy and got humiliated to that degree is my biggest disappointment of the season. You?
That's a good one. I would follow up with the next week, the second half of the Green Bay game. Mm-hmm. Disappointing because they had a 16-7 lead. That's a home game. You could have responded back, beat a good team again. And then for whatever reason, they collapsed in the second half and got burned on every single possession by a Green Bay team that then followed up by losing at home to Carolina. So
right. That
was there for the taking. And we're looking back, that's a win
you'd
love to have.
The defense is the disappointment, despite this great game that they're coming off. They're especially given their own self-generated preseason hype, a colossal disappointment. Limits, your biggest disappointment of the season?
The defense and also the Green Bay Packers fans overtook the stadium on Sunday Night Football.
See, he took it to another level, Bob.
Yes,
he got creative, and I like that. You know what another disappointment is? The total lack of involvement other than a historic blooper that he committed by Caleb Johnson. That, to me, is disappointing. Would you agree?
Yeah. That and the boneheaded play by Roman Wilson in the ball security department. Yeah, but I think that one, even look at a guy last week like Downs. He's a veteran.
We all thought Caleb would play more, right?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, when he was drafted, people were talking about he being not only the complement to Jaylen Warren, but eventually the guy who succeeds him as the number one running back. So he's not even come close to that.
Wonder Twin, I was hoping you would play the boneheaded play. Anyway, coming up next, we got into a debate about Pitt, who appears, if you would have told me after the West Virginia and Louisville games that team would be in the first college football playoff rankings, I would have laughed for an hour. Here they are at number 24 with a national, like a gigantic game with Notre Dame coming here. It's Notre Dame. maybe still the highest profile college football program in the country. Am I right, Bob, or am I out of my mind?
No, you're always, I mean, they're always going to be there, and they're ranked 10th again. And
guess what? They're coming here for a heavyweight bout where if they lose, it's a knockout. They're done in the college football playoff,
three,
I think.
Three losses, they're not going to get in, and that's the one area. This is the motivation for Pitt, that you can put yourself into an at-large situation potentially by winning this game. They have to win them all, but if they win this game, that, to me, is a knockout punch for Notre Dame.
Well, let's talk to Stephen Thompson of the Post-Gazette about that next, and also Mason Heinschel. What a story. He's the guy that gives them a chance. I mean, we could be looking, if this goes right over the next three games, we could be looking at an entire nation feasting its eyes on Mason Heinschel for a college football playoff game, Bob. I mean, yeah. this is getting good. They have a chance, at least. I didn't think they were going to. In fact, I thought it was preposterous at one point because it was. And now it's not.
It's the opposite of last year. They started 7-0 and everybody's right. Like, oh, they're going to, and then they lost 5 in a row.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Pretty good stuff, Bob. Pitt ranked number 24 in the initial college football playoff rankings, and they're going to have a very high-profile game coming up against Notre Dame. And then who knows, even if they lose that game, they still have a chance to get to the college football playoff if they win their final two, Georgia Tech and Miami. And then win the conference title game. But there's all kinds of ramifications to all these games and what might happen if they don't get to the conference title game. What if they win out in the regular season and still don't get to the conference title game? And here to talk about that from the Post-Gazette, Mr. Stephen Thompson. First, I want to mention, join 93.7 The Fan for a toast to the fan at the Drum Bar inside Rivers Casino on Sunday, November 17th.
It's actually Monday, Jill. I had a typo on the graphic there that I apologize for.
Thank you, Limits.
Monday, November 17th.
On Monday, November 17th. That's Monday. Bob, tell them it's Monday.
It's Monday, November 17th. Not December 17th, but November 17th.
Thanks, Bob. As we celebrate winning the 2025 Marconi Award for Large Market Station of the Year, this incredible honor wouldn't be possible without you, our loyal listeners. So we're saying thanks the best way we know how. The fan is buying the first 300 guests a drink. Bob, this sounds like you after a hole in one.
300 guests a drink.
Come raise a glass with us, hang out with your favorite hosts, and celebrate another amazing year of Pittsburgh sports radio. We can't wait to see you there. That's going to be quite a night. 50-minute mark on the fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. All right, Stephen Thompson. Is he on the...
He's here.
Video screen Limits?
There he is.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Right in the middle.
Stephen, this is very confusing to me. What happened? There's many scenarios here. What are the tiebreakers in the ACC? In other words, what if Pitt were to win out? If they beat Georgia Tech and Miami and still only have one loss in their ACC schedule, could they miss the ACC title game? Like, what if they're tied with two other teams or three other teams? Yeah. How does that work?
Yes, they could miss the conference title because after you get through the first tiebreaker, which is obviously head to right? So they have a chance to beat Georgia Tech, who's really the only other team.
Limits, we're having some severe
title
game. But sorry, Stephen,
you're freezing up.
You're freezing
up. We're going to have to unfreeze you.
Oh.
And we're glued to these details, and they're coming in a little choppy. Should we try again, Limits?
Yeah. Stephen, why don't you hop out of the video and try to hop back in real quick?
That'd be great. Bob, who are you picking in Pitt Notre Dame?
I'm picking Pitt to win. Now, first of all, if you look at Notre Dame's remaining schedule, they have it all in front of them as well. They
sure
have
they
Navy
do.
This week. Then they have Pitt. And then after that, two very winnable games, Syracuse and Stanford. So they should, if you're a Notre Dame fan, think they're going to run the table and probably improve their chances of getting into, or they're already going to be in, but a better seed potentially. So they still have a lot to play for. So, that game is going to be here in Pittsburgh. I think the Pitt fans know it. I think this offense is going, it's a good Notre Dame team, make no mistake, but how they start will go a long way in determining where they end. Because if I'm Pitt, I do not want to fall behind by 14 points and try to have Mason Heinschel dig out from that against that defense.
Bob, do you have a comparable for Heinschel? I say a little taller Johnny Football. He's got that that little swagger to him.
He's very confident. Steven knows that, too. He's just a confident guy. But let's go through those tiebreakers again.
We have Steven. He's on the phone, but we can still see him on the video right now.
It's
very fascinating.
This is unbelievable, Bob. This has never happened before. Back to the tiebreaker scenarios. Steven, go ahead.
Yeah, so the tiebreakers start with head-to-head, right? And so Pitt will have a chance to knock off Georgia Tech later in the season after that Notre Dame game. So that's kind of the first one you got to get through, but then it gets pretty messy. It's win percentage against all common opponents, right? So Pitt doesn't have necessarily a ton of those, I think, with, you know, Duke or Georgia Tech. I mean, they've got that NC State game, but, you know, Virginia played them in technically not a conference game. It's still a little unclear whether or not that NC State-Virginia game, which was not a conference game, but against two ACC teams, counts into that. And then it's, you know, win percentage against all common opponents based on their order of finish in the final season.
Wait, what did you just say about something not counting as an ACC game? I didn't catch that.
That was right at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, so Georgia Tech and Pitt both played NC State, but NC State also played Virginia in a game earlier this season that was technically not a conference game. I think the
still don't
teams
understand
just had,
that.
Well, why wasn't it a conference game?
I believe they had an uneven number of, because you have an uneven number of teams in the league, and I think someone might have dropped a non-conference game, and so these two teams needed to pick up a game, and I think they just ended up playing each other, and it didn't count against the conference standing. So
how did I miss that one, Bob?
They could miss out because of something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So that is completely thrown a wrench into the ACC standings right now. So Pitt is still doesn't control their own destiny. They would need believe Louisville to lose a game right now, especially since Pitt doesn't have a head-to-head tiebreaker over them. They would need to win out and beat Georgia Tech and Miami. So a lot really has to unfold, and it's a little hard to predict what would happen over these final weeks because so many other dominoes kind of need to fall elsewhere throughout the league.
All right, Bob, ask your question about what you think could happen if they don't even make it to the ACC title game.
I thought their path would actually be easier, Stephen, if they didn't make it to the ACC championship game, because you can lose that game, and I think it would affect you. If they don't, but they win with three impressive wins over, I assume, all three ranked teams. You know, Notre Dame's 10. I know Georgia Tech is still ranked, and so is Miami. What case could they make to the playoff committee that, hey, this team has won eight in a row? They're electrifying with this freshman quarterback. I don't know if they take that stuff into account, but maybe they do. What case would they make for? Would they have a chance? I think they would.
Well, I think they'd be in the conversation. It is really hard to imagine, though, that, you know, given what we saw in the rankings last night. So, you know, I'm looking at them right now. Like, you've got a one-loss Virginia team at number 14. You've got Louisville also with one loss to that Virginia team that's ranked 14th at 15. Miami, 6-2, same as Notre Dame, with a head-to-head win over the Irish, is 18th, while the Irish are number 10. And then you got Georgia Tech, also with one loss, down at number 17. They dropped 10 spots after losing to NC State last weekend. There is not a lot of respect nationally for the ACC, and these rankings prove that. So when you talk about two impressive wins over Miami and Georgia Tech to end the year in a hypothetical, you know, 10-2 Pitt season, how impressive would the committee think those wins are? Clearly, I don't know. To me, it does not seem like they really respect Georgia Tech or Miami. So I really do question just how much those wins would be valued moving forward. I think if you're talking about a Pitt team that wants to get into the at-large discussion for a college football playoff spot, it would have to mean beating Notre Dame as well. Because that is really the linchpin here.
Bob, that's what I said. If you win all three and you beat a number 10 team.
No, the more I think about it, Bob, you might think they should get in, but the idea of a team in a conference that is perceived as weak as it is, not even getting to that conference title game and getting an at-large bid, it's just not going to happen. Pitt's path is to get to the ACC title game and win.
They could be very much shut out because of a stupid wrench in the schedule about non-conference game with the conference game.
Do you agree that's the only path they're getting in?
No, I still think they can. If they win these three games and do so impressively, I think they're going to have a chance to do that. And
even if they don't get to the ACC title game?
Okay, Stephen, do me a favor. Look at the rest of these teams that would be at-large teams, all right? So, I'm going to cue it.
Bob, he doesn't have all this in front of him.
Well, I don't either. I'm going to call it up right now, but he knows about these teams.
No, he doesn't.
Yes,
not
he
off
does.
The top of his head. Well, Bob is asking Stephen to do something very unfair.
He's asking for a lot
here. He's asking
right now.
A lot.
Hold on one second. I'm going to give you this right now, and we're going to look at these matchups. And Stephen, you tell me what team could be taken out of this scenario. One of the matchups is Oregon, number 9, against Texas Tech, number 8. Memphis would get in because they are, but there'll be a 12 seed against Georgia.
Bob, this is very confusing.
No,
for
I'm
people.
Just asking what team. Right now, number 11, Virginia, is against Ole Miss. If Virginia loses again and Pitt wins out, yeah, again, I guess you have to get.
It's too confusing.
But which
Bob,
team?
Which radio,
team? I think
Bob,
Notre Dame,
Bob.
Number 10,
Come on,
Notre Dame.
Bob.
If Pitt beats Notre Dame, Stephen, do you agree they're done?
Notre Dame?
Notre Dame probably would be with three losses.
Does that create an
opening for an at-large bid? And who would Pitt go up against to fill that slot?
Well, yeah, you know, Pitt could theoretically climb up into that spot, but I would assume you're looking at an Oklahoma or a Utah, like a Big 12 contender or one of these SEC teams to climb.
It's not happening, Bob. We might think it should. It's just that committee, and it's maybe unfair that they judge the ACC the way they do. Maybe it's unfair. They're not going to choose an at-large team from this conference that doesn't even make the ACC title game.
Okay, but what I'm saying to you, if they make the ACC title game and lose in it, no shot, right?
No shot because there'll be a three-loss team.
My sense is my point is, Stephen, agree or disagree, it doesn't matter which way you go, but I think if they don't get that chance but they win out, they still have a better chance than they do getting to it and losing.
I would agree with Bob on that, because I think that definitely taking a third loss is – because especially to another, you know, it depends on who gets to that game. But clearly, like I said earlier, like Virginia, Louisville, Georgia Tech, Miami, whoever it ends up being, a win over them, even in the ACC championship game, is clearly not going to be, or a loss to them. But it's, these just aren't teams that, that the committee clearly values very much. So it's going to be tough, I think, for Pitt to stack meaningful wins down the stretch here because, you know, again, like if Georgia Tech loses to Pitt, they're not staying at 17, right? If Miami loses to Pitt, they're not staying at 18. They're probably going to be unranked after losses like that. So we're going to look at them as good losses, and we look at them as good teams right now. But, you know, I just don't think at the end of the season the committee is going to look at, you know, I don't think they're going to have five ACC teams ranked at the end of the year.
No, but my point is it's better to miss it and win out than get into it and lose. If you win it, it's automatic.
Right, but the real story there, and see if you agree with me, Stephen, is by far, like by a million miles, Pitt's most realistic route to get to the college football playoff is to get to the ACC title game and win.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
There's no doubt with that. It's automatic.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not automatic. Actually, it's extremely likely, but you know, there is a scenario where say you would, like if Pitt loses to Notre Dame and it's not very competitive, right? You know, and then they make it to Charlotte as a 9-3 ACC team and they win. And they, you know, eke out a win over, let's say, you know, Miami gets in there with two losses and still isn't very highly ranked. Like, it's not super likely this year just because there isn't like a Boise State coming from the Mountain West or something like that that can enter the conversation. But this year it is five highest ranked conference champions get an automatic bid.
Oh, so wow. I didn't know that was... Me and Bob are both surprised. I thought it was an automatic bid.
I'm glad you guys brought this up because there was someone who emailed me this morning saying I got something wrong in a story that I wrote yesterday, but I double checked it and I was not wrong. It is the five highest ranked conference champions, regardless of if they are power conference or not. So that's a big change from last year.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's unlikely to happen this year because there just isn't, you know, an American Conference team or an undefeated American team or a one-loss Mountain West team that could push Pitt out. But in theory, the ACC could get left out if there are two Group of Five
slap in the
teams.
Face there.
Holy bird milk. We weren't aware of that. Can you milk a bird, Stephen? Is that possible?
kind of above my pay grade. I'm not so sure.
All right, Limits, do you have a
That's
question?
A perfect response to that. Stephen, we get asked those questions, or at least questions that are similar to that on a near daily basis.
About milking
a
bird? Yeah.
No, maybe not milking a bird, but what else would you say, Bob? Yawning is definitely something
yawning,
that comes
yelping,
up a ton.
Yawning, yelping, whether or not people sleep in the nude, all these things.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Your question, Limits.
So, Stephen, I'm curious just overall Pitt's health level right now. Like they have the bye this week. But do you think that they will have a ton of their key contributors, maybe not 100%, but Des Reed, Kyle Lewis, and the long list of injuries, do you think that they will be in a much better place?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Lewis played last week, so I think he should be good to go. Desmond Reed, game time decision, which I think indicates that he was close, even though he didn't play. So I'd expect both of those guys to be in the lineup. I think the names that you're really looking out for are Rasheem Biles, who I have been told the injury that he suffered a little while ago that kept him out of, both the Syracuse, NC State, and the Stanford games would have him back after the bye week for this game against Notre Dame. So I'm expecting Rasheem Biles to play, outstanding linebacker, one of the top tacklers in the ACC. You know, Kyle Lewis and Des Reed, I expect to be in there. I think the other names that you really should look out for are Chris Brookins, the safety, arguably the best player in that secondary, I think. And then Jeff Percy, the left tackle. Kendall Stanley had been filling in for a while. Seems like Percy and Brookins are progressing a little bit, but still don't know anything definitive about their status. I would say Biles, definitely. I'm pretty confident that he'll play, but the other two, not so sure.
So, Stephen, I want to ask you, when we look at – I don't know if you've followed up on coach opportunities and Penn State's still looking for one. I've heard a whole bunch of different names. I'm just, I know this is not what you're necessarily covering on a regular basis, but have you heard any names that are more surprising than others going to Penn State at this point?
That's
Joe Brady's
question.
And the reason I asked that, Joe Brady, who is now employed Buffalo, has ties to Terry Pegula, who has ties to Penn State. And I'm just wondering, because of those ties, is he tied to them?
Bob, first you're asking about national college programs, and now Penn State. The Pitt football beat writer.
I understand that, but he certainly has heard some stuff.
I apologize, Stephen, on behalf
of the
show.
What's wrong with that question?
This is unbelievable limits. Would you agree?
Do you think Eli Drinkwitz is a good candidate for the Penn State football job? I'm really curious, Stephen.
He has his eye on it. He knows of these names. Everyone asks about names, and that's still a hot topic.
What about
that's
Urban Meyer?
I withdraw the question, Stephen. Joe, you're next. Go right ahead.
The only thing I think I can say is that there were a lot of names thrown around when the search began and when James Franklin first got fired. I think whoever gets hired is going to end up feeling underwhelming to Penn State fans. And that doesn't mean they're going to be bad, but a bad hire at all. But, you know, an Eli Drinkwitz, is that someone that's really going to electrify the Penn State fan base? I wouldn't say so. Especially after some of the names.
Steven,
that's a good answer.
I don't think Matt Rhule, you know, he signed a contract extension with Nebraska, but like, I don't think that was someone who was going to necessarily excite the fan base either. I think a lot of these big names that were thrown around early, probably not going to end up there. And so, I would be lying if I said I had any clue who they were going to hire. I just think Penn State fans are going to have to be a little patient, I guess, would be my prediction.
Steven, the Seattle Mariners are headed for a big offseason. Any idea what they might do? Anyway, Steven, I'll finish with this. Heinschel, is there legitimate fear in those walls, within those walls, that he could be bought out by somebody after the season? And what's a flat number you believe would be a million?
That's a good question. I don't know how much it would take to keep him. I think it's less than people think. There is absolutely no fear in that building that they're going to lose. Think about what happened last year. I mean, how many guys off of the roster from last year did Pitt lose that you thought was a huge loss, right? They kept, you know, their two all ACC, all American caliber linebackers. They kept Desmond Reed. They kept Eli Holstein. They kept Kenny Johnson. I understand that there is a food chain to this thing. But Pitt is not completely out of money, right? Like, they have their own money to spend, and they are going to prioritize retaining these guys who have been outstanding for them this season. And Mason Heinschel is certainly one of them. And, you know, they made Eli Holstein a priority last year, and I have no reason to believe that they wouldn't make Mason Heinschel a priority this year. There were plenty of teams that came calling for the good players that Pitt had on this team last year, and none of them left. So,
but you are acknowledging that people will come after him, and so I guess what you're taking here is money will be money. He'll get maybe what he wants, or maybe not. But the loyalty factor is something that comes into this, because he was taken by them. They had enough belief in him to start him. Do you think that?
And may I piggyback on this, Bob?
Sure.
Once you're done.
No, go ahead. I was going to ask him about Olivia Babcock next, so we may as well just
right.
Go ahead.
Just, Stephen, none of those guys are him. I mean, if you heard Frank Reich talking about him last week, he said the throw against Florida State, like a handful of NFL quarterbacks might make that throw. He's a star quarterback, it looks like, and I just think that's a different ball game.
Yeah, quarterbacks certainly have a different market, right? But, I think we also forget that this guy has played 5 collegiate games. We'll see what he does against Notre Dame and Georgia Tech and Miami and beyond. But there's a long way to go in this season and in Mason's development. I totally understand that they are going to have to work to keep him. They're going to have to pay him some money. That's just the nature of things. But again, Pitt has their own money to spend, right? And I do think the loyalty factor does play into it a little bit, because, you know, you look at the offer sheet that Mason Heinschel had, the official offer sheet, and Pitt was his only Power 4 offer. But there were schools that came calling for him after he committed to Pitt, right? Power Conference schools, ACC, Big 12, Big 10. And he turned them down. He didn't really entertain any of those offers. I do think that, to a certain extent, the offense, the relationship that he has with Pat Narduzzi, the proximity to home, the relationship that he has with Cade Bell and the offense that he's playing in, that all plays a factor as well. It's not completely about the money.
Stephen, we appreciate the time. I apologize for Bob. We can't take him anywhere. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye,
thanks,
Stephen.
There he goes.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.